Right, we're starting here on the two dots on Lamed Chedem Ad Bet. Rabbi Yochanan makes a statement. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Matanot Shibachataot. We've been talking until now at this point that there are four matanot that are done by a chatat. One of them, the first one, is me'akev. The additional three are the mitzvah, the chatchila, but they are not me'akev. So on that, Rabbi Yochanan comments on those three matanot that are not me'akev. Number one, enan ba'ot balayla. You cannot do those matnot dam at night. They are restricted, like any other matnot dam, that they cannot be brought at night. Once the sun sets in the mikdash, then dam is nifsal, bishkiat hachama, and therefore you can't put them on the mizbeach. So that would apply equally to the first matana as it does to the other three matanot. Uba'ot achemita. On the other hand, we know about chataot, that a chatat can only be brought when a person is alive. But chatat shemetu ba'aleha, then that's olah lemita. A chatat whose owner passed away, or the person who needs kapara passed away, you cannot bring such a chatat. Over here, since the kapara was accomplished with the first matan dam, therefore there's restriction of la'achar mita is no longer applicable to the other three. So for somehow the balim passed away between the first matana and the last three matanot, they'd be fine to do the last three matanot because they are not related to the kapara. V'hamaleh behen b'chutz chayav. And someone who puts them or brings them zarek dam outside the mikdash would be chayav for that type of zrika because they are classified as real zrika. They're classified as real zrikat adam. And even though that's only necessary lechatchila, and b'diyevet you won't need it, but nevertheless it is an avodah that would be done in the mikdash, and therefore if you did it outside the mikdash, that would be classified as real zrika, and you would be chayav. So those are the three statements of Rabbi Yochanan, again about these latter three matanot. One is that you can't bring them at night, number two is that they can be brought after the balim die, and number three is you would be chayav. If you did those three matanot outside the mikdash, you would be chayav for those three matanot, because they're classified as rika. So you see that these three matanot have qualifications somewhat like real matanot, but somewhat not like real matanot. So now Amar Rav Papa, Yesh mehen ketchilato, yesh mehen misofo. So Rav Papa takes this to a next step, which is that the damim, those three matanot, have some classifications ketchilato, tchilato meaning like the first matandam. Yesh mehen misofo, misofo means the shivayim, that which is left over, they have some dinim like that. For chutz, taking them outside the mikdash, doing avoda with them b'chutz. Laila, the inability to do maton dam at night. Zarut, someone who's not a Kohen to do the avoda with the dam. Klisharet, the requirement that the dam be nitkabel with klisharet and sprinkled. Keren, where the blood is sprinkled, which is on the keren, the etzba, with your finger. Kibus, if they splash on the big day kuhuna, they will require washing inside of the azara. Vishirayim, and that they create shirayim, that which is left over from them. Kitchilatam, they have the same din as the first matana. So just like the first matana is a real zrika, and has all of these requirements, so too the latter three have these same requirements. That means if you sprinkle these latter three matanot outside the mikdash, you'll be chayav for zrikat chutz. Laila, we said before from Yochanan, you're not allowed to do that at night. Zarut, klisharet, keren ve'etzba, those are the basic requirements of the matanot dam of a chatat. And they apply to these latter three. If you're going to do them, you have to do them right. And the same thing with the din of a dam, of a chatat that splashes on a beggar that needs to be washed out, they have the same din as the first. Vishirayim, and they generate shirayim, which we saw earlier in the Masechta. If someone is mekabel dam in four different kosot, and then he sprinkles one matana from each kos, then the latter three, each one of them, will generate shirayim in the kos that they are sprinkled from. So that's kitchilatan. They have the same din as the first sprinkling. But on the other hand, mita, lo sharia, velo mefagla, velo ayla legavai kisufan. These four items, they have a din like shirayim. That is number one. If the balim pass away, you could still bring the latter three matno dam. Lo sharia, they are not matir anything. Because the basar and the emurim were already nitar by the first sprinkling. So these latter three sprinklings have no, they're not matir anything. And because they're not matir anything, the same thing will apply. Below mafagla, they're not, you cannot make pigo. You can only create pigo or have machshevet pigo on something that is a matir. These are not matir anything, and therefore you can't make pigo. Velo aylo legavai, and they do not, they can be taken in. Over here, this is a din we know by chatat, that chatat achitzona, that dam is taken into the heichal, is automatically pasul, is problematic. That's only true with the first matan dam. That's not true with the latter three matnot dam. If you take them into the Echal, it has no impact on them, because they are not being mechaper. They are not the ones that are bringing the kapara. Only things that are ra'ui the kapara are pasul when they're taken into the Echal. Since these are not ra'ui the kapara, they're not pasul when they're taken into the Echal. So therefore, they are all kisofan. They all have the din like shirayim. So here we have a list. Amar Papa. Papa says, "Mina aminala. How can I prove to you this point, or where can I show you that I am right?" Now, when we say I'm right here, it's about Teuna Kibus, about the one item here, that the need for these three sprinklings of blood to require washing of the beged if they get on the big day kuhuna. Where can I prove that to you from? Tetznan, I have a Mishnah. Nitaz minat zavar ala beged. A blood shot out of the behemah from its neck onto the beged kuhuna, ain't Teuna Kibus. That does not require laundering. Mina karen, mina yisod. It splashed. After it was placed on the karen, it splashed back onto the beged. Or it was being poured on the yisod and splashes back from the yisod onto the beged. Ein taun kibus. In all these, in these instances, you do not require laundering of the beged kuna. Ha, what can we infer from this Mishnah? Mina ra'oi le karen taun kibus. It's only something that already landed on the karen that does not require laundering, but that means something that should have ended up on the karen will require laundering. These three matnot, even though they're not obligated to be placed on the karen because b'di'evit you yotze without them, nevertheless, they are ra'oi the karen. They are supposed to end up on the karen. If they are supposed to end up in the karen and then they splash on your beged, they should ta'un kibus. So that's the Rapapa's proof to his position. I can show you that these latter three matnot require laundering because I have a Mishnah that tells me only once it's hit the Karen does it not require kibus. But if it's still in the process of being put on the Karen, then it will require kibus. And these three are supposed to be put on the Karen. So they should require laundering. The Gemara says, well, if you want to make such a deal, let me help you out. You can make another deal from this Mishnah, and that'll be problematic. Ulitamech, mine yasod ein taun kibus. Only stuff that bounced off of the yisod of the mizbech, when you pour the leftovers into the yisod, if it bounces on or splashes onto the beged, that doesn't require laundering. Ha mina ra'ui le yisod ta'un kibus. And then the same inference that you made from the Mishnah, the Gar, the Karen, I can make about the yisod. And that means that anything that is ra'ui le yisod will require laundering. Then we have a problem now. Why? Because it says, asher yazeh ktiv. That the only thing that requires laundering is something that will be sprinkled or can be sprinkled on the mizbeach. That excludes something that already had the dam put on the mizbeach, and the only thing left to do with it is pour down on the shirayim into the yisod. Shirayim do not require laundering. So if your diuk is correct by you saying, well, if it says that it has to be, it bounces off the Karen, splashes off the Karen, no laundry. That means if it still hasn't reached the Karen, there is laundry. Well, then you have to make the same deal, begabe the yisod. Only something that splashes off the yisod does not require laundry. That means something that is going to the yisod will require laundry. Well, that isn't true. We know that's not true. We know something on its way to the yisod will not require laundering because it's already past the point of hazah. Now, the Gemara says, Ha'amani Rabbi Nechemihi. So the question about whether this is an answer or part of the question is a machloket Rashi and Tosafot here. Rashi says this is a continuation of the question, and it's making the question stronger. Tosafot says this is an answer for Rav Papa. So first I'll read it according to Rashi, that's a continuation of the question, then I'll read it according to Tosafot. Rashi says, Ha'amani Rabbi Nechemihi. Well then, if that's true, that diuk is true, then the brayta that we just mentioned, that we just brought, is actually authored by Rabbi Nechemia. Ditznan, Rabbi Nechemia Omer, Sharei Adam, Shikram Bachutz Chayav. Nechemia says that, which is left over from the dam, after the matnot dam are done, that they are now intended to end up in the yisod. If you take that blood outside, and you do zrikat the dam outside of that blood, you're chayav. So you see from him that the dam that is going to the yisod still has a shame of Uda associated with it. If there's a shame of Uda associated with it, that means that also when it splashes on your beged, that would require laundering. So now, based on Rashi, the question is this. You have two choices about how to read this Mishnah. You can either read the Mishnah and say, make a diuk out of the Mishnah, which means make a diuk that's both what hasn't reached the Karen and what hasn't reached the Yisod, both of those will require laundering. That will be the opinion of Rabbi Nechemiah. Because Rabbi Nechemiah is the only one who says that something that hasn't reached the Yesod yet still has a din of dam. Still has a din of dam, enough so that you'd be chayav if you took it outside. Also enough of a din that you'll be laundering. So now, Rabbi Papa, if Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of this Mishnah, you've proved nothing to me about the position of the Chachamim. You were trying to show me that the Chachamim believe that you require kibbutz for the latter three, but no dam. Well, how do you know that? I don't see anything from this Mishnah that teaches me that. That Mishnah is speaking about Rabbi Nechemiah. The other possibility is that the diuk is wrong. Your diuk out of the Mishnah is wrong. And minaroi the yisod and minaroi the karen is not what the Mishnah intended to say. That inference is wrong. Well, if that inference is wrong, Papa, again, you have no proof from this Mishnah. So that's, according to Rashi, that's where the question ends. The question is, Papa, I don't understand your proof. Either the Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Nechemiah and you have no proof to the Rabbanan, or the Mishnah has no diuk in it because the diuk's not right. You can't say it about the yisod, therefore you can't say it about the karen. And now you also have no proof. That's the question according to Rashi. According to Tosafot, this is the first answer for Rav Papa. The answer is, Hamani Rabbi Nechemiah hi. Who's the author over here? The author of this position is Rabbi Nechemiah. And what do we see from Rabbi Nechemiah? We see an equivalence between Hakravat Chutz and Kibbutz Bigadim. What do we see in this Mishnah? We see that Rabbi Nechemiah is one who requires Kibbutz Dam when it goes to the Yisod. Why? Because Rabbi Nechemiah says that the Sharia Dam that's going to the Yisod, you're chayav for if you take it outside, if you do a bechutz, you're male bechutz. So Rabbi Nechemiah says, if you're male bechutz, wash your begadim. So Rabbi says, that would be my proof. That's the answer now. The answer about this Mishnah is yes, ein ochanami, that maybe Rabbi Nechemiah is the author. But what Rabbi Nechemiah shows us is that there's a equation which says, if you're chayav when you're male bechutz, you also have to wash the begad inside. Well, let's go back. Before the Shlosh Matno Dam, we said you're chayav if you're male bechutz. Rabbi Yochanan agreed about that. If you're male and bechutz, that means you're chayav. That means also, if you splash them on the beged inside, you're going to have to do kibbutz beged. So according to Tosfos, this answers the question against Rav Papa. It is, right. It's the Shitas Rabbi Nechemiah. Rashi's point is valid, but Tosfos is saying that what the Gemara is showing here is, forgetting Rabbi Nechemiah Rabbanan, all they're showing is that there's an equation. The equation says, everybody holds that if you're male bechutz, you have to be mechabes begadim. The question is, are you chayav for being male bechutz? Nechemiah says, by royally so yes. The Chachamim say no. But that equation stands. Now I can apply that equation to the three matnot in the Chatat. I apply that equation, everybody agrees there. If you take the three matnot, male bechutz, you're chayav. So everybody must agree that there's kibbutz begadim over there. That's what Tosfos says. Now the next line in the Gemara is Imor Dishmait Lay the Rabbi Nechemiah the Inyan Halah Mida Dahave Aivarim Updarim Rim Kibbutz Mishmait Lay. So I'll just keep reading according to Tosafot. According to Tosafot says, wait a minute, how do you know this equation is true? We're not sure that you're right about this equation. We know that Rabbi Nechemiah believes that if you take the Sharia Adam that's supposed to go to Yisod and you makrive pechutz, that you're chayav. That's similar to Evarim Tarim. Evarim Tarim are the leftovers of the Karban. They're not required for the Kapara. And you still have to be makrive them. If you makrive them pechutz, you're chayav. But the Indian kibbutz, Misha'ayadei, who says about laundering that Rabbi Nechemiah agrees to that opinion about laundering? So according to Tosos, the Gemara now is trying to break apart the proof that we just brought for Rapapa. We tried to say, Rapapa, yes, there's this equation. And the Gemara says, how do you know this equation is true? We only know one thing about Rabbi Nechemiah. He says that if there's blood left over that's going to the Yisod, if you're male bechutz, you're chayav. We know nowhere that Rabbi Nechemiah draws an equation between male bechutz and kibbutz. Where do you find that? According to Rashi, this is the answer of the Gemara. This is the first answer of the Gemara. The first answer of the Gemara is that Rabbi Nechemiah cannot be the author of that Mishnah. Rabbi Nechemiah can't be the author of the Mishnah because who says that Rabbi Nechemiah believes that Male Bechutz is Chayav, therefore Kibbutz Begadim is required? We don't know if that's true. We don't know if that equation is true. Well, if that equation is not true, then Rabbi Nechemiah would not be the author of this Mishnah over here. And this Mishnah would still be according to the Chachamim. If the Mishnah is according to the Chachamim, then we're back to stage one, which might leave it still as a problem, which is that you have a diuk. The diuk out of the Mishnah says, mina karen, you don't require laundering, but mina ra'oi the karen, you do require laundering. But you're still left with the problem, which we raised before, which is that if you make that diuk, you should also make the diuk about mina yasod. And that the Chachamim don't agree to, of the diuk mina yasod. And therefore, according to Rashi, the question still remains on Rav Papa, which is this Mishnah really does not bring a proof to you.
So Right, so according to Rashi, the answer is...
The answer is that you can't say that Rabbi Nechemiah, who says that Rabbi Nechemiah is the author of this Mishnah? Because we don't know that Rabbi Nechemiah, just because he believes that you can sprinkle the Sharia Dam b'chutz and your chayav, does not mean he believes that if it hits your beged, that you require kibbutz, that you require laundering. You made that jump. Who says that jump is true? And maybe Rabbi Nechemiah is not the author of that Mishnah. So if that is not the author of the Mishnah, who is the author of the Mishnah? The author of the Mishnah is the Chachamim. And now we're back to Rabbi Popa's proof, which is that if it's Mina Karen, but not Mina Roi the Karen, they still have the problem, which the Gemara hasn't answered, or which Rabbi Popa will still have to face, which is if you make that diuk, you should also make the diuk about the Yesod, which is not true. And that will still be a problem in the Mishnah, but nevertheless, at least with the fact that it's not the Nechemiah's author in the Mishnah, but it's the Rabbanon, at least that part we can answer according to Rabbi Papa. So Gemara says, in, we do have such a case. Batanya, Tanya ben Ichuta, that we do have this. We know that Rabbi Nechemiah really holds that there is an equivalence between Male B'chutz and Kibbutz Begadim. How do I know that? Batanya, Damim Atonim Yisod Tonim Kibbutz. Umakshava Mo'elet Ve'em. Danim, that blood that is going to end up on the Yisod requires laundering. Umachshava mo'elet v'hem. And if you have a machshava here, if you want, when you're pouring them, you're having a machshava to eat the basar, chutz lizmano or chutz limkomo, you have impact on them. Ve'amalan b'chutz, and you bakir them outside, chayav. So there you see the three things that are joined together. The requirement for laundering the begadim, the fact that if you have machshava during this part of the avodah, it'll impact. And if you're malim b'chutz, you're chayav. V'damim nishpachim ni'ama. On the other hand, blood that is poured into the yama, which we said before is like the drainage, the sewage line for the migdash. That means that the damim are psulim. Then those dam ain't tulim kibus, ain't machshava malim, and v'malim b'chutz patur. Since they're not real dam anymore, they don't have any of these requirements. But what do you see here? We have a b'raita. And the b'raita is suggesting that there's an equation. Now, that blood that ends up on the Yisod has the status of dam, enough status of dam that it requires laundering if it hits a beged, that if you have machshava, pigo, or chutz lizmano, chutz limkomo, that you'll be chayav, it'll be problematic, and if you do them bechutz, you'll be chayav. Well, who's the opinion who says that malam bechutz is chayav? That's the opinion of Reb Nechemiah. And we see in this braita that there is this equation between chutz and kibbutz. There's this equation, and the only one who can be the author of this is Rabbi Nechemiah. That's what the Gemara says. Uman shmaitle damar malamen bechutz chayav. Who's the one who taught us that the one who's malam bechutz is chayav? Rabbi Nechemiah. Vikamar, and you see the bright that says, taun kibbutz, umachshava malaben. So you see that Rabbi Nechemiah does have this equation. According to Rashi, the Gemara is really rejected Rav Papa, and the Gemara is not interested in Rav Papa at all. According to Tosfos, the Gemara is still trying to bring a proof to Rav Papa. If Rabbi Nechemiah has this equation of chutz and kibbutz, then Rav Papa's proof is intact. Because according to Tosfos, the whole issue here is the equation. The equation is, if there's ala b'chutz, there's kibbutz, so I can prove something. So according to Tosfos, the whole Gemara is going back and forth whether Rabbi Nechemiah has this opinion or doesn't have the opinion. And if he has the opinion, it's a proof to Rav Papa. If he doesn't have the opinion, it's against him. According to Rashi, the Gemara basically rejected Rav Papa's proof, and it's moving on just to figure out what Rabbi Nechemiah's position is. And that's it. So according to him, Rav Papa's out of the picture, basically, at this point in time. Vatanya, the Gemara says, is that really true? We have a braita. Yotzu shirayim vaktarat emurim she'em akvim et hakapara. When it comes to the shirayim pouring the blood on the Yisod and the placing of the emurim on the mizbeah, she'em akvim et hakapara, they do not withhold kapara. The kapara is already complete with the zrikat adam. So therefore, ein machshava moelet behem. Machshava is not moelet behem. So you see that, but it comes to the shirayim, that ein machshava moelet behem. If that's the case, this brightness will tear the previous brightness, so it doesn't work. So Gemara says, "Tzki tanya hahi bishlosh matanot shibachatat." Now, the first brightness is speaking about the latter three matnot shibachatat. If it's speaking of the latter three matnot of the chatat, that's why machshava is moelit over there. Machshava is moelit because we're talking about the latter three matnot shibachatat. But this brayta that we just brought over here is yatsu shirayim, bakterat emurim, she'im makvim et hakapara. That's speaking about real shirayim. So in real shirayim, Rabbi Nechemiah will not believe that there is such an equation between Shirayim, which says that if you're Malah Bechutz, you're Chayav. Nevertheless, Machshava won't be Moelet, and you will not require Kibbutz Begadim. None of that will apply to Shirayim. The previous Braita, where we said there is such an equation, that equation is speaking about the latter three Matnot, Dam, in the Chatat. Now again, according to Rashi, this has no implications for Rapapa. But according to Tosafot, this would be an additional answer, an attempt at answer Rapapa. Because if this earlier Braita says that they require kibbutz, and it's a latter shlosh matnot of a chatat, then we do have such an opinion that Rapapa would prove Rapapa. We have a Braita now that suggests the latter three of the chatat require kibbutz. So that would be a good proof for Rapapa, because that's exactly what he's trying to prove so far. So the Gemara says, wait a minute, if you do that, Iochi te'unin yisod lekeren azle. What do you mean that Habatanya, the first line of our Amud here, Batanya damim atunim yisod, blood that requires yisod. What do you mean yisod? We're only at the point where they have to get up on the Karen. We're talking about the latter three matnot dam of the chatat. Where do those three matnot end up? They end up on the Karen. So what are you telling me, damim atunim yisod? It should be damim atun Karen. So ema nit anim yisod, a blood that will, in the end, require yisod, meaning that they will have a mitzvah of yisod after you put them on the Karen. Umachshava ma'olat mehem. Where it says, ha'amart, you already said, lo sharia, velo mifagla, ve'olo ailo legavai, kisofan. Rav Papa already himself, this will not help Rav Papa, because now, if you establish that we're talking about the last three matnot dam of the chatat, so yes, they require kibbutz, like he said. And yes, you're chayav if you're male elahen bechutz. But that Braita also says, machshava mo'elet behem. That if you have a machshava pigul on them, it will have impact. Well, Rav Papa said, machshava is not mo'elet by the latter three matnot dam. So that's not going to help you solve this problem. So that's not going to help you at all. Ella, kitanya hahi bidamim hapnimim. This Braita is speaking about inner damim. So this first bright over here was talking about damim from the inner karban, from the korban that's brought beheichal, a chatat apnimit that's brought in heichal, where the sharia dam are me'akevet, according to some tanaim. We don't have this opinion yet, but we're going to get to an opinion that when it comes to the mizbeach chitzon, everybody agrees that the damim of the yisod are not me'akev. On the other hand, when it comes to the chatot apimiyot that are brought in the echal, the leftover blood, according to some of the opinions, is me'akev. Talking about the inside, the echal, everything is me'akev. Even after you finished all the hazaot, when you bring it out to put it in the yisod, that is me'akev as well. We left behind the answer of the three. Right, we rejected that answer now, and we're moving on to chatot apimiyot, and we're saying that that bright is speaking about chatot apimiyot, and that's why yisod is me'akev. But the Gemara says, if that's true, then what's your diok? That the Shari Adam of the Pnimit is Ma'akev, but the Shari Adam of the Chitzon is not Ma'akev. Well, then the Braita would have a better way to explain it. Why the Liflog V'Lidne B'Dido? Why doesn't that Braita itself create a better distinction? Liflog V'Lidne B'Dido, B'Med, V'Mamruim B'Damim Ha'Pnimim. When is all this true? When you have the Shari Adam of the inner Karbanot. Avo Damim Chitzonim Patur. When it comes to the Damim Chitzonim Patur. Why does the Braita, if you go back to the Braita, the top of the Omud here, the Braita distinguishes between blood that's going to end up in the Yisod and blood that's going to end up in the sewer in the Amah. Why do you make such a distinction? You make a better distinction. Blood that is left over from the shirayim from the chatat apnimiyot, that's true. Blood from the chatat chitzonot, that's not true. That would have been a better or finer distinction than distinguishing between yisod and aman. Rabbi says, no, hamani, Rabbi Nechemiah. The author of that braita is Rabbi Nechemiah. The amar sharei adam shikuvan b'chutz chayav. That he thinks that the sharei adam that are makriv b'chutz is chayav. And therefore, lo matni lay tlata b'turet, b'lahadi tlata chiyuvay. And therefore, there will be no balance in the braita. The braita says that the sharei adam, the leftover dam, that is found from the chatat apimiyot that they're taking out to put on the yisod, that dam has three dinim. Because it's ma'akev, according to certain time, what's the three dinim? One is it requires kibbutz bigadim. Number two, machsheva mo'elet ba. If you have a machsheva chutz zmano or chutz komo, that impacts. Number three, if you're malay b'chutz, you're chayav. Now let's look at the dam achitzonot. You want to make it down, okay, that's not true of sharia dam achitzonot. That would have to mean that the leftover blood, the sharia dam of the chitzon is going to the yisod, has to have these three things be true about it. One is, it does not require laundering. Number two is, you will not be chayav if you're malei oto b'chutz. Number three, that machshava is enu malelet b'hen. Well, if Rabbi Nechemiah, which is what the Gemara is suggesting, is the author of that braita, Rabbi Nechemiah believes, and we have an explicit mission, Rabbi Nechemiah says that a malei oto b'chutz is chayav. Well, if he says malei oto b'chutz is chayav, then we cannot make the distinction in that braita be between shari adam of the pnimim and the shari adam of chitzonim. And therefore, that's why the distinction was between yisod and ama. In the conclusion, the answer is that we cannot find in Reb Nechemiah, according to Tosafot, this point in time, we cannot find in Reb Nechemiah this equation between kibbutz, laundering, and malei b'chutz. And since we do not have such an equation, Rapapa's proof falls apart, because Rapapa has no proof that there is such an equation between malei b'chutz and kibbutz. And therefore he doesn't have a proof to his position that just because malei b'chutz is chayav by the latter three matnot, that means it requires kibbutz. So Ella, according to Tosfos, Ella is the final stage where the Gemara says we just don't have a proof to Rapapa. That's finally where it happened. According to Rashi, already Rapapa's proof is already out of the picture from moment number one. Because the Mishnah that we quoted, or the Braita that we quoted that he tried to bring his proof from, is not a proof to him in either occasion. Either because Reb Nechemiah is the author of it, therefore you can't prove anything to the Rabbanan. Or even if Reb Nechemiah is not the author of that Mishnah, what do you have from that? That Mishnah only tells me that Mina Karen doesn't require laundering, but Mina Ra'oi LeKaren does require laundering. Well, that would mean that you have to make another deal in the Mishnah. Mina Yeso doesn't require laundering, but Mina Ra'oi LeSo does require laundering, and that we can't make. So your deal is wrong. So according to Rashi, your proof is wrong no matter what. Either Reb Nechemiah is the author of the Braita, and therefore it's not a proof, or the Chachamim are the author of the Braita, and your deal is wrong. And now what the Gemara was just trying to figure out is, what's Reb Nechemiah's real position? Does Reb Nechemiah believe there's such an equation between Mala B'chutz and Kibbutz or not? And the Gemara did Shach V'Tayo until it comes to a point where it says we have no proof, we don't know, and it's very possible there is no equation. According to Tosfos, the Gemara is interested in keeping Rav Papa's proof alive until the last moment, until this Ella. Till that point in time, the Gemara thinks that Reb Nechemiah has an equation between Kibbutz and Mala B'chutz, and according to Tosfos, that is the proof to Rav Papa. In the end, the Gemara says no. Ella, no, we can't say that. All we know about Reb Nechemiah is Mala B'chutz is Chayav. We don't know anything about Kibbutz, and therefore you don't have a proof from Papa. I'm sorry, you don't have a proof from this piece over here. So in summary, let us explain how Rashi and Tosafot read the Gemara. Rashi says that the Gemara brings a question which the Gemara will never overcome. And that is, you're trying to make a deal out of Mishnah Rav Papa, because it says Mina Karen and Mina Yesod. You want to make Mina Karen means not Mina Ra'oi LeKaren. If you do that, you've got to take a second step and say Mina Yesod, Mina Ra'oi LeYesod. The question is only further strengthened by the fact that if you say Ein Hochanami, that is the deal, then Reb Nechemiah is the author of that Mishnah. If Reb Nechemiah is the author of the Mishnah, then you have absolutely no proof to your position, because then all you explained is Reb Nechemiah's position, but you have no proof to what the Rabbanan's position is. Now, the Gemara answers up and says, how do you know that Reb Nechemiah is the author of that Mishnah? Because we don't know that Reb Nechemiah actually draws any equation between Malei B'chutz and Kibbutz, which is what you're saying. You're saying because Reb Nechemiah holds that the Shari Adam of the Mizbech Chitzon requires is Chayav if you're Malei B'chutz, so there it also require Kibbutz. How do you know that equation is true? So maybe that's not, maybe Nechemiah is not the author of the Mishnah. But according to Rashi, even if Rabbi Nechemiah is not the author of that Mishnah, Rav Papa still does not have a proof from that Mishnah, because even if the Chachamim are the Mishnah, your diuk is incorrect. Your diuk is incorrect because you can't say min ha-ra'oi la-karen and not say min ha-ra'oi li-sod. And min ha-ra'oi li-sod brings you to an absurd conclusion. And since it's an absurd conclusion, that cannot be the diuk. The Mishnah must not have that diuk. So according to Rashi, at this point in time, Rav Papa has no proof from this Mishnah whatsoever until we get to the position of Ravina later on, who re-explains the Mishnah. Maybe that could be a proof for Rav Papa. But now, the Gemara now continues with a simple question. Does Reb Nechemiah believe there's such an equation between Malei B'chutz Chayav and Kibbutz Bigadim? So Gemara says, well, yes, he does have that equation. I'll show you that he has that equation because I have a Braita that makes says that Shari Adam has three factors that are included in it. Three factors are that Malei B'chutz is Chayav, Kibbutz Bigadim is required, and Machshava is Moelet. So if I have that, that's the case, then I have a proof. Who's the author of that Mishnah? The Braita, the author of the Braita must be Reb Nechemiah. You see, there is such an equation over there. The Gemara says, wait a minute. Is it really machshava moelet behem? How could you do that? We have an alternative brisa that says no way. Machshava has no effect on Shari Adam. So the Gemara, in order to reconcile between those two brisot, said that the first brisa is speaking about the shlosh matnot dam, the latter shlosh matnot dam of the chatat. And if it's speaking about the latter shlosh matnot of the dam, the Gemara has, well, one problem, a technical problem about the language. It says he's sold and not Karen. Gemara overcomes that problem. But then the Gemara says, well, if you're talking about the latter shlosh matnot adam, then we already agreed, everybody agreed, and we saw that before in Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Papa's positions, that when it comes to the latter shlosh matnot of the dam, of the chatat, the chitzon, that machshava is not moelet behen. And that braita says machshava is moelet behen. So if that's the case, that can't be the solution to that braita. The final solution of how to explain that braita is that braita speaking about the damim hapnimiim. That braita is talking about dam that went into the mizbeach hapnimi, and now is being brought out. The shayya dam that's being brought out, according to some tanaim, is me'akev. According to those tanaim that it's me'akev, then these three things are true about it. Number one, that is you chayev if you're malei b'chutz. Number two is you can have machshava on them, and that will impact on the korban. Number three is that you need rekibus bigadim. Now, the inference from that is that when it comes to the Mizbeach Chitzon, that you'd be patur in all of those cases in the Mizbeach Chitzon. So, as far as we're concerned, again, at this point in time, we have no proof to Rav Nechemia's equation. The Gemara comes along and says, well, if that is true, that by the Mizbeach Chitzon you're patur, then the Breita should have made a much finer distinction and say, if this is true by Mizbeach Benimi, it's not true by Mizbeach Chitzon. But the Breita instead says, this is true of dam that is coming out of Mizbeach HaPnimi to the Yisod, but it's not true if the dam is Pasul, which is a much coarser or broader distinction, make a finer distinction. The Gemara says, well, you know who the author of that Breita is? It's Rav Nechemia. According to Rav Nechemia, that distinction is not true. Because in Mizbeach Chitzon, Rav Nechemia believes that Amala Bechutz is Chayav. So therefore, you can't say all three things that are Chayav by the Mizbeach HaPnimi are Patur by the Mizbeach Chitzon. That's not true. According to Rav Nechemia, one of them is Chayav the Mizbeach Chitzon. It's the Sharia Dam of the Mizbeach Chitzon. You are Chayav if you're Maleu Tan Bachutz. So therefore, you can't draw such an equation. That's why they write that to make a broader distinction. In the end, according to Rashi, we have no proof. We do not know the equation of Rav Nechemia's opinion. We cannot prove that just because Rav Nechemia believes that Maleu Tan Bachutz is Chayav, that he also believes that they require Kibbutz Begadim. And that's the conclusion of the Gemara in this first stage. That according to Rav Papa has no proof in the Mishnah, that we leave up very early on. Number two is, we have no proof about Rav Nechemia's opinion, which the Gemara was trying to ascertain. Does Rav Nechemia, because he holds Malei Otan Bechutz is Chayav, therefore he holds Kibbutz is Chayav, or you're Chayav to launder them? That again, we have no answer to. That's Rashi's reading of the Gemara. According to Tosafot, the Gemara is always attempting to help Rav Papa until this final Ella over here. All along the way, Rav Papa, and this is because Tosus believes that Hamani Rav Nechemia is really an answer for Rav Papa. In the initial stage of the Mishnah, where we said, Min HaKeren Min Yesod, then you come up with the absurd diuk of Min Yesod, Min HaRoi Yesod. The Gemara solved it by saying that Rav Nechemia was that opinion. Tosus says, that's an answer for Rav Papa. If Rav Nechemia draws a parallel between Malei B'chutz's Chayav and Kibbutz Begadim, then so too I can do the same thing in my position. If the Shlosh Matnot of the Chatat require are Chayav of Malei B'chutz, then they also require Kibbutz. And that's a proof to Rav Papa. The Gemara comes along and tries to undermine that by saying, how do you know that Rabbi Yirmiyah really has that equation? Does Rabbi Yirmiyah really have that equation? The Gemara says, yes, he does have that equation. I'll bring you a breita that says that Malei Otan B'chutz is Chayav, and it requires Kibbutz Begadim. Who is going to be the author of that breita? It must be Rav Nechemia. So the equation is still alive. The equation is alive. Rav Papa has a proof. The Gemara says, I have a problem with that breita. That breita doesn't necessarily prove that Rabbi Nechemia is the author of that breita, because you have an additional breita that says Machshava is not Moelet. When it comes to the Shari Adam of a Chatat Chitzona that goes on the Yisod, Machshava is not Moelet over there. So if we have that breita, that's not what the first breita on the Omud is speaking about. On Lama Tetam and Aleph, that can't be speaking about Shari Adam that's going to the Mizbeach Chitzona. At this point, the Gemara reaches an interim stage in which it explains that the first breita on the Omud is speaking about the Shlosh Matnot Achronot of the Chatat Achitzona. So, Ein Ochanami, we have no proof from the Mishnah that Rav Papa brought down, because we can't explain that Mishnah according to Rav Yirmiyah. But nevertheless, if we explain the first breita on this page as speaking about the Shlosh Matnot Achronot, and there we see that the breita says that they do require kibbutz. So that would be a proof for Rav Papa. The Gemara first asks, how can we explain the breita that way, because we have a technical problem? And then the Gemara then rejects it again because of a solid problem. And that is that Even according to Rav Papa, who believes that you do kibbutz by the Shlosh Matnot Achronot, he agrees that you can't have Machshavat Pigul by the Shlosh Matnot Achronot, V'chatat Achitzonah. And the first bright on the page says, not only do you require kibbutz, and not only are you chayav if you're maleh b'chutz, but you're also chayav, or it's pasul, if you have Machshavat Pigul on that karban. So it's obvious that that brayta cannot be speaking about the shlosh matnot achronot of the chatat achitzonah. So this proof of Rav Papa also falls away at this point, and we still don't have an explanation for the first brayta on the amud. If that's the case, then the Gemara moves on. Ella, it must be that we're speaking about that shari adam of the mizbeach ha-pnimi. Once we're talking about shari adam mizbeach ha-pnimi, then we've lost this equation. We no longer know, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the equation between malatam b'chutz chayav, requirement of kibbutz begadim. If we lose that equation, then Rav Papa's proof falls away. So according to the Tosfos, Rav Papa's proof's alive till we reach this final stage of the Gemara where it explains the upper brayta has been talking about the Mizbeach HaPnimi. Once it does that, then we've lost the proof to Rav Papa. Then Ravina will come along here now, and Ravina will reread the Mishnah, according to both Rashi and Tosafot, to be readable and not create the absurd diuk. If it doesn't create the absurd diuk, then it will be a proof to Rav Papa, and that's how Ravina will solve the problem for Rav Papa. Ravina offers a totally different alternative to explain the first Mishnah. The first Mishnah that we brought, that Rav Papa brought as his proof, Ravina now offers an alternative shot. Ravina Amar, mina keren, mamash, mina sod, mina ra'oy liyasod. Don't read the Mishnah when it says mina keren or mina yasod to mean literally that which splashed off of the keren, that which splashed off of the yasod. But read it like this. When it says keren, it means that which splashed off the actual keren. When it says mina yasod, it doesn't mean what splashed off the yasod, but anything that is ra'oy the yasod. So Gemara is going to offer the obvious question. Amalei Rav Tavchlifa bar Gazel Ravina im idi v'idi ra'oy hu. Meaning, how can you make such a distinction in the Mishnah? How can you say that one word in the Mishnah means literally, and one Mishnah word in the Mishnah means ra'oy? How can you distinguish between keren and yasod? So, hi mai. He says, I'll tell you why, because otherwise I can't understand it. Hashta ra'oy l'keren amart lo ra'oy l'yasod mi ba'yu. If you're going to suggest that the whole Mishnah there is speaking about ra'oy l'keren and ra'oy l'yasod, that means that something that is ra'oy to end up in the keren does not require laundering. Well then, by yasod, you have to tell me? If something that could go to the keren doesn't require laundering, then something that could go to the yasod requires laundering? You would never think that. There's no more chiddush in telling me about yasod. I mean, Ella, it must be the way to read that brayta is, mina keren mamash. When it says that it splashed off the keren, it means literally off the keren, and that does not require laundering. The inference from that would be, mina ra'oy the keren. That which is ra'oy the keren does require laundering. Now, the Mishnah comes to tell me another chiddush, mina yasod. Mina yasod does not require laundering. What does it mean, mina yasod? Mina ra'oy the yasod. Something that could end up in the yasod does not require laundering, as opposed to mina ra'oy the keren that does require laundering. And in the end, if you read the brayta that way, it will be a proof to Rav Papa, because now we can make a distinction between mina keren and mina yasod. That inference that Rav Papa made from mina keren is right. And you cannot say if he makes that inference by mina keren, he has to make the same inference by mina yasod, because that's not true. Because mina yasod has to be teaching us a different chiddush than mina keren. Because if you think mina keren means mina ra'oy the keren, then also the mina yasod would be mina ra'oy yasod, and there'll be no chiddush in that second statement. The only way for there to be a chiddush in the second statement is to say that the first statement means mina keren mamash, and the second statement means mina ra'oy the yasod. And if that's the case, Rav Papa does have a proof from this Mishnah that which is ra'oy the keren does require kibbutz, meaning the latter shlosh matanot in a chatat do require kibbutz. Right now the Gemara begins down a path. It's a short Gemara, a little complex, but it brings a pasuk that is mentioned in Vayikra Dalet. Spent a lot of time in Horayot on this, and these are the psukim of the chataot. You remember there in the list of the parashah over there, there are three different chataot that are mentioned. There's the chatat ha-yachid, there is the chatat of the nasi, there is the chatat of the kohen mashiach, and there's the chatat of helam dovar shel tzibur. So in that sequence of chataot, the order goes like this. It's found in Perek Dalet in the Vayikra. And the first one that is brought down, the first chatat that we discuss in Perek Dalet is, Nefesh ki techata bishgaga mikol mitzvot Hashem asher lo tasena vasat mechena im kohen ha-mashiach yacheta. The first chatat that is spoken about there is the chatat of the kohen mashiach. The second chatat that is spoken back in Perek Dalet is, im kol adat Yisrael yishgu, which is the par helam davar shel tzibur. In the parol davar shel tzibur, it says, there's a pasuk there that reads, Vasa lapar, kasher lasa lapar achatat. You should do to this par, meaning the parol davar shel tzibur, kasher lasa lapar achatat, like you did to the previous par achatat. What was the previous par achatat? That's the par kohen Mashiach. Ken yaseh lo, v'chiper alem hakohen v'nislach lehem. That's what you should do, and be mechaper. By doing this, what you did to the previous par of the Kohen Mashiach, you should also do the par Helam Davar Tzibur. This pasuk, according to Rashi, is totally extraneous. Why is this pasuk extraneous? Because the pasuk comes to tell you, do exactly what you did to the par Kohen Mashiach, you should do to the par Helam Davar Tzibur. So Rashi tells you a little secret. You know something? That whatever is written by the par Kohen Mashiach is also written by the par Helam Davar Tzibur. The Torah lays out explicitly what you have to do with that par. So why does the now at the end, that summary pasuk, say, do exactly like you did by Par Kohen Mashiach? But the Torah already laid out all those items that you need to do. All the matnot dam are laid out explicitly. The only thing that is not mentioned in Par Helam Davar Tzibur, which was mentioned in the Par Kohen Mashiach, has to do with the Yoteret HaKaved and Shtei HaKlayot, which are a certain amount of the fats that end up on the Mizbeach. Now Rashi says, yes, in Ochanam, we need that to be learned from Par Kohen Mashiach, but that can't explain this pasuk. Because this pasuk says, I'll read it again, Vaseh Lepar, Kasher Yaseh Lepar Chatat, Ken Yaseh Lo, V'chiper Aleihem HaKohen Nislach Lehem. The word V'chiper indicates that we're talking about something that brings kapara. And we know already, the only thing that brings kapara is the Zrikat Adam. The Haftarat Emurim is a Shayei Mitzvah, something that's at the end, that's not Ma'akev the Kapara. So if that's the case, that's not what this pasuk is speaking about. If that's the case, this pasuk is extraneous. If this pasuk is extraneous, we're going to darshan this pasuk. That's how Rashi reads the pasuk over here, that this pasuk is totally extraneous. What are we going to do with it? So Rashi says, this pasuk being extraneous comes to teach us. So the drush from the pasuk is that it's doubling what you need to do for the par Helam Davar Tzibur. If it doubles what you need to do for the par Helam Davar Tzibur, that means it's me'akev. That's the position of Rashi. Right now we'll read the Gemara. Tan Rabbanan, Basak Asher Sa, Ma Balu Lameid. What is this coming to teach us? Lichbol b'hasa'ato. It's coming to double up the hasa'ot. According to Rashi, because it's written twice in Paralam Davar Tzibur, because it's a extraneous pasuk. According to Tosfos, it's written once in Paralam Davar Tzibur. Plus it says once, do like the Par Kohen Mashiach, which is also a doubling. This teaches that when it comes to the chatot apnimiyot, everything is me'akev. That's what we want to know. I mean, that till now we dealt with the chatzat achitzona. Now we're dealing with the chatot apnimiyot. The chatot apnimiyot, every matana is me'akev. I only know about the sheva hasa'ot that you have to do. Keneged ha-parochet. Matan dalad minayin. How do I know that in addition that the four matnot dam that are placed on the mizbeach ha-zahav, that they're also me'akev? Tamal Omar, ken yaseh, four matnot are me'akev regabe mizbeach ha-zahav, even by the parhel of Dover shel tzibur, because I can't learn it out from v'asa, kasher asa. I have to have the additional limud from this pasuk of ken yaseh, par. So too you should do the par, ze par yom ha-kippurim. This is the par of Yom Kippur, and the par of Yom Kippur also requires not only the sheva matnot keneged haparochet, but also the four matnot dam on the karnot hamizbeach ha-pnimi. Kasher asa lapar. What does kasher asa lapar teach us over here? Ze par kohen Mashiach. This teaches us also that the par of kohen Mashiach is also included in this. Now obviously it's not kasher asa lapar, because kasher asa lapar already be used for the drosha, but it's rather lapar. It's not just kasher, but the word lipar comes to me, it also includes par kohen Mashiach, that it's also, all its matnot are me'akev. Hachatat, elu si'irei avodat kochadim. This comes to glue those which are mentioned in the parashat Shlach Lecha, which we saw back in Horayot, that there's a par elam davar tzibur for chatat that gets karet, and for chatat avodah zarah, you have to bring a par v'sa'ir. So yochol shanim rabeh af si'irei regalim v'si'irei roshei chadashim. Maybe if we're on a roll here, let's bring in all the chatot. Why are you only including in the chatot of Yom Kippur and those of Helam Davar Tzibur and Kohen Mashiach? Let's bring in all the chatot of Rosh Chodesh and the Regalim. Where it says, Talmud Lomar, lo, only for it. For it, yes. For others, no. So what are we excluding? We're going to exclude the chatot of the Regalim and the chatot of Rosh Chodesh. So maybe we say it's kasher sa lo. What do you mean? Lo is an exclusionary. To whom? Ken yaseh lo. Ma ra'it el rabot et elu lo tziyat elu. What gave the idea to pick these and not those? Achar shiriba katuv mi'et. Because now the pasuk included and excluded. Merabeani et elu shemechaprim alevira mitzvah yedua. I'm going to include all those chatot that are mechaper on something that is known. This goes back to Shavuot. Remember, Gemara and Shavuot told us that when it comes to the Sirei Chatat of Rosh Chodesh and Sirei Chatat of Regalim, they are mechaper al she'ein yidia b'tchila velo yidia b'sof. Someone who did a problem of Tumat Mekdash of Koshav, where he doesn't know about it in the beginning, he doesn't know about it in the end, he never knows about it. That's what it's mechaper for. All the other Karbonot come to be mechaper on something where there is some yidia involved. So therefore, the Gemara says, I'm going to include all cases where yidia, there's some form of yidia, versus these which have no idea whatsoever. Mara says, v'chiper. The conclusion of the pasuk is, v'chiper aleihem akoin v'nislach lachem. So now Gemara says, v'chiper, afal pi shelo samach. Chiper comes to tell you that only the kapara is ma'akev, but not something else. What's that not something else? The smicha. Smicha ta karban is not ma'akev. V'nislach also comes to you, there will be slicha. Afal pi shelo netan shirayim. Even though you didn't put shirei adam on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. Remember that which is brought into the Mizbeach HaPnimi or into the Parochet, those dam is brought afterwards, the Shari dam has to be poured on the Yisod Mizbeach HaChitzon. We just said in the Gemara before, there are some Tanaim who believe that that is Ma'akev. According to this point in the Gemara, this is according to a Tana who says it's not Ma'akev. So therefore, Ma Ra'ita Livsol B'Hazaot Ulachshir B'Smichal Shiraim. So we ask the same question again. Why are you saying that the Hazaot are Ma'akev, whereas the smicha and the shirayim are not ma'akev? So he says, Amart posel b'hazaot shema kvot makom makom. I'm going to include the hazaot, which are ma'akev everywhere, both on the mizbeach apnimi and the mizbeach chitzon. We know that the kapara is determined by the dam, and there's at least some dam that's ma'akev in all locations. But and we know that the smicha and the chutz and the shirayim and the mizbeach chitzon are not ma'akev. And if they're not ma'akev there, we're not going to try to make them be ma'akev on the pnimi. So if I have a choice of what to include that is ma'akev, and a choice of what to not include, I'm going to include things that are ma'akev everywhere. What's ma'akev everywhere? The matnot dam. What's not ma'akev in other places? That's the smicha and the shirayim. Therefore, when it comes to the mizbeach ha'pnimi, I'm going to say the same thing. The hazaot are ma'akev. Different than the Mizbeach HaPnimi, because all Hazaot are Ma'akev in the Mizbeach HaPnimi, as well as the Mizbeach HaChitzon, where only one is Ma'akev. Now, when it comes to Smicha and Shirayim, I'll say those are excluded, and therefore they're not Ma'akev. Just like by the Mizbeach HaChitzon, they're not Ma'akev, so too by the Mizbeach HaPnimi, they are not Ma'akev. Okay, we'll stop over here.